Isn't that a beautiful song? And can you feel the power of it? This is what we're about, sharing who we are with the world, being the avenue through which Spirit expresses. And it really shines through in that song for me. I feel it. I feel the power. Well, good morning. God is right here, right here, right where we are now, constrained only by the inhibitions we have set up for ourselves. This is written by Margaret Schwartz, who is a New Thought author and a minister. God is here, right where we are now, constrained only by the inhibitors we've set up for ourselves. What does that feel like to you when you hear that statement? How does that feel?
True.
Yep, comforting. Because we're going to spend some time exploring this idea this morning. And my talk title is Trading Patience for Presence. Now, this title comes from a practice that I once read about by a woman who was always in a hurry, who was very impatient. It seemed like people were in her way a lot. Seems like traffic was always in front of her. And she realized that she was not living her life fully because she was always feeling pressured. She was always feeling like she should be doing something else right now, feeling like she was behind. She could never seem to catch up. Can anyone relate to this state? Anyone? And she thought that what she needed was more patience. And so she tried to do that. She tried to become more patient. So what happens when you try to make yourself be patient? It's kind of like this. Come on, inner peace, I don't have all day. You know, my minister in Canada used to always be cautioning us, never pray for patience unless you're prepared for a world of frustration, because the universe will be very accommodating with giving you what you need to put it into practice. And so this woman decided, instead of trying to force herself to become patient, she would simply trade it for the practice of being present. Now, I want to invite you to feel the difference between those two ways of being. Think about how it feels when you are with someone who's trying to be patient with you. And now compare that with what's it like to be someone who is completely present to you. Can you feel the difference? Yes. Take a moment and check in with yourself. What does it feel like for you when you're being impatient? So you can start tapping your toe if you like, look at your watch, start wondering when is she going to get to the point, right? Imagine that you are going to be very late for an appointment that's very important to you if you do not get out of here on time, and you would just like me to hurry it on up, please. Can you get in that space? Yes. What does it feel like? What does it feel like? First of all, okay, everyone relax. I don't want to really create that kind of energetic field for us this morning. But what does it feel like for you when you're being impatient? What are some words that you...
Pressure.
Stress, yes, stress. Frustration, rushed, yes. Sense of urgency, yes. Anxiety, anxious. Strong impulse to force things. We're talking about stress here, stressed out. And you know what? That, all of that, those ways of being, it inhibits or it constricts our energy outflow. It contracts our energetic field. It gets in the way of us experiencing any kind of peace. And when this becomes the norm for us, if that stressed out way of being becomes chronic, it affects us in so many ways, physiologically, mentally, emotionally. And not only that, but then we end up not enjoying life. And some of this is pretty deeply rooted in our psyche. Many of us grew up in an environment of achievement, be productive. Hurry up. Don't be lazy. School systems reinforce this kind of message. My father used to ask me, what have you done today to justify your existence? And I was that obnoxious teenager, so I'm not going to tell you what I said back. And we can have our identity get wrapped up in what we do. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing I love more than getting things done. But it can be very unbalanced to the point that we have trouble relaxing. Do you ever find your shoulders up like this? Like, whoa, what am I doing? Or we can think we should be multitasking all the time. Or our well-being and worth become tied up in how much we achieve or don't achieve. And that kind of pressure, especially when it's self-imposed, can cause all kinds of major stress-related issues in our body-mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Yes, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The problem is that most of us know that we're stressed out. We don't know what to do about it. So we might turn to addictive substances or habits. We might take prescription drugs to help us relax. We might overeat comfort foods or overly excessively exercise or play video games or be on social media, all in the name of trying to deal with stress and feel better. Does it help?
No.
In fact, it exacerbates the problem. So now, take a moment and feel what it is like to be present. So I'm going to invite you to give yourself permission to set aside your agenda for now and just let go of any need to hurry or to be on to the next thing. Imagine that the only thing for you to do right now is to be. So relax into your seat. Sink your awareness deep within your body. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel your back against the chair. Notice any tension in your body, in your shoulders, in your neck, around your eyes, your jaw. Just take a moment and sink into this now, instant. And focus on a sense of slowing down. Can you feel that? All right, come on back. Can you feel the difference between impatience and presence? Because one of them, we are trying to be anywhere but here. Do you see it? And the other, we are trying to be not be anywhere else but here. Right now, head and feet in the same place, really experiencing the moment. And truly, this is a holy moment. Henry David Thoreau wrote that during the Middle Ages, pilgrims would take time to rove around the countryside. And whenever they were asked where they were going, they would say, à la Santerre, which means to the Holy Land. And from that came the word saunter. Saunter. And you know, I love this story because I have to tell you that sauntering is not something I often do. In fact, the opposite. I'm typically race walking everywhere I go, whether I'm early, whether I'm late, whether I'm walking the labyrinth, doesn't matter. I'm in a hurry. I'm speeding along at a Fitbit rate. Racing against time. And yes, it gives the heart a good workout. I'm not suggesting we dispense with walking at a good pace altogether, but I am saying there is another way for us to experience life, a slower, kinder way, and that is by treating wherever you happen to find yourself as holy ground. So right now, you are standing, sitting on holy ground, sacred land, and we want to be with that with reverence, with gratitude. The celebrated naturalist John Muir said, hiking, I don't like either the word or the thing. These mountains are holy land and we ought to saunter through them reverently. Now granted, sauntering is probably much easier for me to do when I'm walking through an old growth forest than it is when I'm darting around Costco. And it doesn't help that my Apple Watch gives me a hard time when I'm dawdling too much. But that in and of itself is really part of the work, to be able to slow down and be present through all of the moments of the day, regardless of the chaos, regardless of what I'm doing, because guess what? Those moments become your life. So take time to do some sauntering. And remember that it means going to the Holy Land. Now, I received my word for the year that now adorns Whitestone way back in the beginning of December. It just showed up in one of my meditations, and that word is savor. Savor. When that word arose, I knew it was the exact right one. And what it translates to is being present, experiencing life at a deeper level, not flitting off on some mindless mental tangent, but focusing on what's right in front of me right now, and really inhabiting my life in a deeper way that I've not done in the past. That's the intention. To not miss one second of this year, and to enjoy every single second. It's about enjoying life. Maria Namath, how many of you have ever heard of Maria Namath or know who she is? She's a psychologist and an author who leads transformative week-long seminars on authentic living. And she tells the story about meeting a friend of hers at a restaurant, and they decided to order a hot fudge sundae. Now, when the desserts arrived, Maria gulped hers down in about 3 minutes flat. And then when she looked up, she saw her friend savoring every morsel, sharing delight with every bite. Oh, the almonds. And her friend continued doing this for about 10 minutes and then stopped before she finished it and said she'd had enough. And Maria thought, good, I can finish it. And she realized she needed to cultivate this dynamic of enjoyment and savoring in her life. She'd eaten the sundae so quickly that she practically inhaled it, and she hardly remembered it even going down, let alone tasting it. Has anyone ever eaten like that? Our culture's been described as a microwave mentality. Everything fast and furious. And as I've been working at slowing down, enjoying the moment, delighting in the taste and the sounds and the feelings, what I've discovered is that savoring is truly an art form, and it takes practice. So I have been working at it, savoring my quiet time in the morning, really enjoying the reading of inspiring works, sinking into that enjoyment, being in the silence. I've been savoring the satisfaction I get from turmeric tea and from plant-based eating and every swallow of water, every step of a walk, every mile of a drive, every note of a song. This morning, the music has been so fabulous. It's always fabulous, let's face it. But I've been savoring the notes, so thank you for that. And I've been equally trying to savor moments of turmoil, when the world seems to be turning at a dizzying rate. When I'm able to savor that, I sink into what's real. It's the deep peace that's underneath all of it, always in the midst of the storm. It's always present. It just gets covered up by this outer chaos. It gets eclipsed by our microwave mentality or the yammering of the chattering mind. But it's there. It's here, now. God is here, right where we are now, constrained only by the inhibitions we have set up for ourselves, beyond the limitations, beyond the filters, beyond the yammering. You know, I recently read some words from Einstein that I had never come across before. He's quoted as saying, "Beyond the tireless efforts of the investigator, there lurks a stronger, more mysterious drive. It is existence and reality that one wishes to comprehend." You see, it's right here now. Oneness means everywhere present. Behind the chattering mind, the investigator, there's a reality that's so vast, that's so beautiful, that just to catch a glimpse of it can be a life-changing moment. And we have some breadcrumbs to follow from some folks that have gone down that path. People like the Carmelite monk, Brother Lawrence, who called this work practicing the presence. Did you know he was a soldier earlier in his life, and for a good part of his life, until he was injured and he had to leave the army? And so then he decided to join a monastery for a life of service to God as a sacrificial punishment for his earlier life. So he didn't join out of a great love of spirit. He was doing penance. Just one problem. Turns out he loved it so much, there was no punishment to be had. And then he got assigned to the kitchen. Now, he was not a fan of kitchen duty. So now he had the opportunity to practice the presence while washing those pots and pans. And he found the same joyful communion in those kitchen tasks as he had in his time of prayer. So savoring our life can help to unleash that joy no matter what we're doing. As Dan Millman, the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, reminds us, there are no ordinary moments in the school of life. There are no ordinary moments. Each and every instant is a unique and unrepeatable event. And so the question we want to ask ourselves is, how many moments of my extraordinary life am I really living? How many? Am I just going through the motions, bored with the whole thing? Am I hurrying through moments I don't particularly find enjoyable, irritated by all these seeming obstacles that show up in my way? Am I truly experiencing my life, or am I mentally checked out and unavailable like some absentee landlord? We need to bring all of us into the present moment, body, mind, spirit, even or especially during our pots and pans moments. In fact, when we study people who have had an awakening experience of pure presence, we see that those pots and pans moments shift for them. Eckhart Tolle was depressed to the point of suicide when he suddenly had the mind chatter stop, and he was shocked to discover the beauty that had been hidden just below his awareness all this time. He found the power of now, joy in the moment. Byron Katie got herself up off the floor where she'd been in the pits of despair, a rageaholic, as she describes her earlier self, trapped in addictive behavior, and she was transformed, and she began loving what is, loving whatever was showing up in her life. Michael Brown was healed from a severely painful condition from which he had no relief in the past, and he discovered the joy of the present moment, creating the present process. All three of them realized there are no ordinary moments. And their experiences may be remarkable, but they're by no means inaccessible for any of us, because we all have what we need to follow their paths of discovery, and there are many more. It's not just those three, of course. That path is undergirded by a very simple practice that we do every week here and that I spoke about last week, and that is the practice of, ready, drum roll, gratitude. Michael Brand tells us that gratitude is the fragrance of the present moment. It's one of my favorite sayings of all time. The fragrance of the present moment. And so we begin by moving into a grateful space that can help us to become present. And we can use whatever we choose to get us there. I just have to think of any of my little grandsons and boing, I'm there. So use whatever you are grateful for to help you to become grateful, the fragrance of the presence. We move to a vibratory match with reality when we sink into gratitude. And then we continue feeling it. We let it grow, we let it expand. We let the feeling take us to that place within us that is open, that is joyful, warm, loving, compassionate. Find it within yourself. Find that frequency and then marinate in it. Move in. Claim squatter's rights. Because when our heart space and our mind space and our body space are all in alignment with the vibration of gratitude and joy, we can experience pure presence, a moment of deep inner connection with the pure beingness of life. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
We have what it takes. Every single moment, we are truly at a choice point of joyfully living more fully in the presence or withdrawing into unconscious conditioned behavior, sleepwalking, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
And go back to sleep. But then we miss the joy. And Teilhard de Chardin is captures the essence of this power of being fully present. He says, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. Gratitude's the fragrance. Joy is the unmistakable sign that Spirit is present. And when we really live our lives, we can experience that joy moment to moment to moment. One of my favorite movies is an English film called About Time. Anybody know that movie? We have one or two. It's kind of an obscure movie, but I love it. And it came out in about 2013, and so I've decided the statute of limitations is up on spoiler alerts, so I'm going to give you one. Be forewarned. However, even knowing sort of what happens, I don't think it would ruin this movie for you if you wanted to watch it. In the film, a young man turns 21, and his father takes him aside and tells him that a curious thing happens to the men in their family on their 21st birthday. They receive the ability to time travel in their own life. They can't go out and change history, but they can go and revisit their past in their own life and re-experience moments, making a different choice as long as they don't change their own history. And so the rest of the movie is filled with the son's adventures and misadventures as he goes back and does a redo on moments he wants to change. And near the end of the movie, his father tells him that what he does now is that he experiences every day twice. So he goes through the day, he has all of his fears and worries and irritations and everything else, and then he goes back and he does it a second time, and this time he enjoys all of it. Every single moment. And so we watch the son, who's a lawyer, go into the court, unsure if he's going to win, and they do win the case. And then you see him on the subway, and the guy next to him, even with earbuds, the music is so loud that it's disturbing his reading. And all these things that happen, time with his kids. And then we see him redo the day, and this time, he's confident and relaxed in the courtroom. He enjoys the music on the subway, does a little dance to it or whatever, and really experiences his day in fullness the second time around. However, at the end of the movie, he realizes something, that he can live his life that way every single day, that he doesn't have to have one go around and be at the mercy of whatever's showing up and then enjoy it the second time. He starts to enjoy it regardless of what's showing up. He begins appreciating his time with a deeper tenderness. And that's really the work for us. Appreciate the time with a deeper tenderness and presence, no longer needing to redo to love his life. And he walks through every day with gratitude. And so I thought about that, and I realized what I was seeing on the screen was an illustration of someone living with nothing and no one against them. Have you heard about this before? And so I asked myself, am I doing that? How many days have I race-walked through or looked at my watch 1,000 times wondering when the tedium is going to end or feeling irritated or worried about what's happened, letting my schedule dictate my life? You see, that means having my life be against me. And did I really live that day? Thich Nhat Hanh says, the miracle's not to walk on water, it's to walk on the earth and be present to it, to be truly alive. So stop and reflect right now on how wonderful your life is this very moment. Not 5 years from now, not when you're retiring, right now. Honor the gifts you have now. There are no ordinary moments. So give this present moment the honor, the attention, the gratitude that it deserves. And so with savor as my word for the year, and with the practice of trading patience for presence, I've taken on a couple of practices that I want to share with you. The first is to trade race walking with sauntering. Now, that doesn't mean that I dawdle everywhere I go. There are times I have to pick up the pace. However, I have set aside rushing impatiently. And whenever I feel that sense of urgency rising up, I stop. And I sink into the awareness that I am now in the presence of pure being. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, wrote this beautiful invocation. I am now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. Say that with me, please. I am now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. So sink into the awareness that you are right now immersed in oneness. The divine is ever present. You are connected to original source, and all the beauty that life has to offer you is available to you right now. You are standing on holy ground. So savor it. Saunter through it. When we really come from this knowingness that we're saturated with the divine, we walk the earth in the presence of God, and joy is the infallible sign. Voltaire was asked if he believed in reincarnation, and to paraphrase, he said he wasn't surprised that he might come back again, as he was that we're here at all. Being here should surprise us. Let's never lose that surprise. Let's never lose the wonder of living eternally in the divine moment. As one of my favorite poets who passed away last week, Mary Oliver, said, "Instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. Pay attention and be astonished. And tell at least one person every single day what you are enjoying about that day. It may be a beautiful sunset or the smile of a child or a song you just heard. Talk about what you're enjoying, since sharing this with another will increase your awareness and memory of the moment." So please do that before you leave here today. Share with one person what you're loving about this day. And so, to more fully experience your life, trade patience for presence. Whenever you feel a sense of being pressured or late or in a hurry, take a breath and affirm, "I am now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom," and feel the majesty of that moment. Then sink into a moment of gratitude. Remember, you are standing on holy ground, and thank someone today for blessing your life. And then pay attention and be astonished. Stay connected to the wonder of it all. And then tell someone one thing that you're loving about your life on this day. This is a divine moment. We are in the midst of infinite activity right now. God is here, right where we are now. And our job is to become present to that reality and really live it. But don't take my word for it. Don't believe a word I say. Are you ready to practice the presence? Let's do it.